Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki. Was that your phone?
Yes. Sorry about that. That was someone sent me a message.
Aki's phone is here. Aki's phone, how are you doing?
It's doing well, because I got information that I wasn't paying attention to. I had the wrong day in my head. Oh, no. Today is my grandfather's birthday. I thought it was the 8th.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. When there's a law, I'm going to have to go call him and wish him happy birthday.
Well, there might be a law because Jacob's not here yet.
He's useless as per usual.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come strolling in eventually. But in his stead, we have Lady Magritte here. Bree, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you all?
Yeah, as good as we can be without Jacob, so that's pretty good.
So great, in other words, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. Good shit. How's things going for you?
You know, just dealing with life stuff, one emergency after another. Woo!
Yay! Well, fun times for all.
Yeah. I love talking tanks, really.
Aki's forgetting birthdays, Bree has life, and I have depression, so fucking awesome. We're the dream team tonight. Now we just need Jacob here with his irritable bowel syndrome, and we're all...
Remember on Tuesday how I was all excited because I was going to pre-order that Gundam, and it was going to be great?
Did you miss the pre-order?
Tuesday wasn't the day it was coming out. Wednesday was, so I had it up on Wednesday, and I was in the middle of a D&D session when it came out, and it ended like an hour and 40 minutes after it came out for pre-order, and it was already fucking sold out.
Oh no.
Wow.
I was so mad. I am still mad.
Damn, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I don't understand why they just don't make their production system better and make it to where it's made to order. And because like the pre-orders for that was open until August. It didn't last 2 fucking hours. Why the hell was it even opened August? What the fuck's the point in that?
Yeah, that's crazy. You know what else sucks? The critical reception for Redfall.
No!
How's that for a segue?
That was actually really good. I applaud you on that.
Yeah.
Up until the point where you had to mention it was a segue.
Yeah, I know. It's only good if you don't point it out, so I have to ruin it.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
So yeah, Redfall, big Microsoft exclusive release this week, and people aren't liking it. I haven't played it myself, so I can't comment on it personally, but the reviews have been pretty mediocre to bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start playing it tonight. In less than an hour.
Are you?
Oh. Yeah.
Are you excited
Tell
for
us
it?
How you like it?
I am something. I don't know. I'm happy to be able to have a new game to play with friends. So that's a thing.
Like, was this one that was on your radar at all? Or is it just like, hey, it's on Game Pass and it's new. Let's try it.
It's on Game Pass, and it's hard to find a game that the majority of my usual suspects on my crew think they actually might want to play. So the fact that I got that seems like something we could try as a group, like from pretty much everybody in the regular group, like that was really my reason for like, yeah, we're going to try this. All right, cool. That's good. Let's go.
Nice.
I want to try it this weekend. I don't know if I want to try it solo or if I want to find a friend or two to play with. Like
when I started, it's going to be solo all the way.
Yeah.
I'm bad at this stuff.
I did get that bite back upgrade. I got the physical upgrade because it came with a steelbook.
Nice.
So, and it's a nice looking steel book. So no regrets.
Any cute girls on the box?
No, it's just like the black steel book with the red logo.
Oh, that's
it's minimalistic, stylish. It's not like the Dead Island Best Buy steel book.
Yeah, see, I prefer when they have cool pictures on them more than just like, oh, it's metal.
I don't know. I like the low effort look every now and then. I don't know. Yeah. But what are your thoughts? Do you think people are being too harsh on the game because it's an Xbox exclusive? Do you think they're being too harsh on it because it's a multiplayer game or had the live service stuff that was removed or stripped out of it?
Do you think
it's justified?
I'm just a guess because, again, none of us played it yet. I'm going to say it's probably justified. From what it seems, it came out a little underbaked.
Even Phil Spencer's doing interviews apologizing for it, which is like if you're going on a tour apologizing for it, you had to know beforehand that it wasn't that great.
Jesus, that's bad.
Like
I don't know. I mean, I tend to be pretty optimistic about things, but I think that a lot of people I've heard some valid complaints that I think are things I'm willing to let go of. Because it could be fun. Things like, certain graphic sections are really pretty and certain ones could have been made 10 years ago. there's been some other complaints about earlier segments of the game not having enough enemies, and thusly it kind of felt boring in the space in between. A couple complaints along those lines that I feel like, okay, those could be some valid things that I think are worth, you know, being mindful of, but I don't know that that's going to be enough to keep me from having fun with friends. So,
which is what matters in the end, is right? Having fun with the game.
Yeah, like, if we're enjoying the gameplay. Everyone talks about
how great Sony exclusives are, but like Heavy Rain, I can't get into that. Detroit, I can't get into that. Uncharted, I can never really get into those. They're gorgeous. They play great. They're just,
I want to play those so bad.
Not games I ever got into.
Like Zero Dawn looks pretty, but I tried to watch streams of it and it just did not click with me as something that I think I would enjoy playing. So
I want to play that too. Aloy is so cute.
Like all I want are the goddamn Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters and Mega Man Battle Network, and we can't get those.
Yeah,
like I don't care about
Spider-Man games.
I don't care about the shiny hot newness. Like I don't give a fuck about Dead Space. I just want Final Fantasy VI. Give me Chrono Trigger and I'll be happy.
Shame on you for not wanting.
I would love Chrono Trigger. I don't know why we got Chrono Cross first, but I'll take it.
I don't know. Apparently, in one of the interviews Phil Spencer has been doing, he said that he's hoping to improve relationship with Square Enix. And I think they should, like, any interviews he's in, people should hound him. Like, what is going on with Square? How did you let them? We're getting
other Square games, just not
what are we getting?
JRPGs. I mean, in the past so often. I mean, technically, they published games that have come over to Xbox. They're just not giving us the RPGs.
Oh no, they're not giving us anything now. We haven't gotten anything this year, and there's nothing on their schedule except the physical version of Power Wash Sim. That's all that Square Enix has planned for Xbox this year. That is it.
I didn't even know they had anything to do with Power Wash Simulator.
Yeah, they're the publisher. Yeah,
they published it.
I didn't know that.
Interesting. That's how they got the Tomb Raider and Final Fantasy crossovers, because I'm sure they inked them before Square let them go.
And then we recently got a couple of remasters. We got the Final Fantasy PSP game remaster. We got Chrono Cross, but
Dio Field at the end of last year, Star Ocean at the end of last year, and then it was like after Crisis Core, it was just complete dead stop.
Yep.
It's like the end of the year and they were done. They shoved everything out that they could on Xbox and they're like, we're done with you guys. So I think if people are interviewing Phil Spencer, I put out a tweet earlier like, hey, Phil Spencer, come on our show. I'm not going to grill you about Redfall, but I will grill you about Square Enix. And the backward compatibility program. That shit needs to come back so bad.
I would love that so much. There are still a lot of games on my 360 that I would love if I could just back combat. It's so much easier to do that.
No lie, I think I have like 400 games still installed on my 360. That aren't playable on a Series or Xbox One.
I know that it's also individual licensing, and so if those companies for whatever reason just aren't willing or able to negotiate the licensing or that sort of thing, like, I understand that.
Like, I can understand the license games not coming over, but like Cul-de-Sep Saga, why didn't that one come over? Army of Two, the 40th day. Down. I think that was Bandai Namco. Army of Two, the 40th day. They brought over 1 and 3, or with Risen, they brought 1 and 2, but not 3. I don't know. I think they should restart the backward compatibility program. Yeah. I think they touted original Xbox games, and there's 60 of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's like 1,000 Xbox games, and we got 60 of them. That's it. Oy.
It could be worse. I don't know how, but I don't know. But it could. I know it could.
Well, it could be mediocre as the Xbox Game Pass lineup. The first batch for May was announced, and it's only a handful of games. It's actually kind of depressing. Ravenlock is a day one launch.
Sadly, I've heard people aren't too excited about that. It looks really good, apparently, but its story isn't really grabbing people, sadly.
Well, we'll talk about that. What, next week we're talking about that one? May 8th, Weird West Definitive Edition is hitting the Series X and S. Weird West is already on Game Pass. This is just the Series version. May 9th, Shadowrun Trilogy is hitting PC. And then,
and it's already been on PC forever.
Yeah.
It's on Steam, and it's been on Steam for like a decade or longer.
And then May 11th, Fuga, Melodies of Steel 2, which that's a pretty cool one. I like the first game. Really a unique kind of game. I think you would like it, Aki.
Oh, what's it about? The name sounds familiar, but I can't place it with anything.
It's like a mixture of a mech, not mech, like it's a bunch of kids in a mech, and it's like a life sim kind of game. It's been a while since I played it, so like most of the details are long gone from my brain. Let me see if I can pull up the page.
Is this like furry stuff, like the people are animals or something?
Probably.
Oh, yeah, I know this. Yeah, I know this game. I just found it on Steam. This is, it's apparently kind of depressing, so I'm like, no.
I think you should give it a go.
I don't like depressing games. They make me cry.
I would just like to say, when I finally hop on, the first thing I hear out of Aki's mouth is, like, as everything was loading, so.
And the first thing we hear from you is,
I was just responding to her mating call.
Ew. I cannot stress that enough. Ew.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, there, I guess a couple of technical additions is that Besiege and Quantum Break both returned to Game Pass.
Cool.
Yes.
So that's good. But yeah, overall, that's a fairly lackluster beginning of the month. Only 4 games, one of which is already there and one of which is PC only.
You know what I'd like to know is what happened to the big con? It was supposed to be here at like the end of last year, beginning of this year, and then nothing.
I have no clue.
We were supposed to be getting that on Game Pass.
Speaking of bad news with Game Pass, a bunch of games are leaving Game Pass. Before We Leave is leaving, so before that leaves, you're going to have to play it. Danganronpa 2 Goodbye Despair Anniversary Edition is leaving. Hearts of Iron for PC, Hearts of Iron 4, and Her Story for PC. Umurangi Generation Special Edition and My Friend Pedro. Going bye-bye.
I would highly recommend Umurangi Generation if anybody wants to try that. It's not a super long completion. It's got a nice little, like, subtle horror background story to it. It was a really pleasant game.
Yeah, Lloyd's saying, where's Maquette?
Yeah, Maquette's another one. Still waiting on Guilt, too.
Oh, man.
I know some Catholics that can help you.
Jacob,
you mean
I know
my
some
family?
Ah, that was weird.
That was
weird. Loaded the.
That was rude. Hear her voice? Ew, what the fuck? Well,
no, it was just like I loaded up the Twitch thing so I could like start earning points and, you know, eventually like redeem it for a game or some shit that I'm never going to play.
Fair.
You know.
Some good news for you, Jacob.
They found my testicles?
No, that's never happening. Give it up.
Those are in your wife's purse. I told you that forever ago.
Super Mega Baseball 4 has been announced from EA and Metalhead Software. It is launching June 2nd.
Yeah, buddy. I'm hopeful.
Same. I hope that it's more arcadey than sim, but the fact that they're adding all these real life players kind of worries me that they're going to lean too hard into the sim.
Yep. Because, I mean, my prediction that EA will be releasing, like, a console MLB game still has yet to come to fruition, although I did notice they are responsible for a, mobile and stuff like that. EA now has an MLB game for mobile.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
Maybe it's eventually on the way.
Totally.
We'll find out. High on Life has reached 7.5 million unique players.
It was a fun game.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I'm not even used to that humor because I haven't watched any of the shows or anything. So yeah. I thought it was really good.
It's still in my backlog to play. Like, there's so many games I need to play so bad.
Yeah, yes, there are.
It's in my backlog.
Like, yeah, I need to play more Resident Evil 4.
Everyone does.
Which version?
The new one.
The good one.
No, I don't.
They're both good.
Eh.
I mean, I still have like the Xbox 360 version I bought off of you that I still have yet to play.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you don't have the good version is what you're saying. Okay.
Not yet. No.
Okay. You need to change that.
I mean, if you want to buy it for me.
No.
You know, well, geez.
I already bought you a game, motherfucker. Be happy.
Suck it, bitch. Let's talk sales.
Gunpla to buy.
Yeah, she does. Like $400 Gunpla, right?
No, I think my most expensive was like $200 and something.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's more expensive than most of my collector's editions.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection has already sold over 1 million units worldwide with zero sales on Xbox because Capcom fucked us on this one.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster is up to 2 million units sold. On mobile, then PC, then Switch and PS4, 6 games, 2 million. Not impressed, honestly. I thought they would do better.
It's a shame they don't have it in other places so they could sell more units of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost as though when you cut out Xbox, the people who are starving for those fucking games, you cut off a lot of your sales. It's a big shocker.
I mean, let's be honest. They weren't going to be massive sales, but there were going to be some sales. Like, Capcom apparently didn't want to pay the $5,000 license to put Mega Man Battle Network on Xbox. They didn't think they could make $5,000 back.
They had some hookers and blow to, pick up.
Isn't that depressing, though, that that's how much faith some developers and publishers have in Xbox now?
I mean, it costs more than $5,000, though.
Yeah, but they didn't want to pay for that's what stopped them. They hit that point, and they're like, eh, fuck it, never mind.
That just hurts my feelings. To me, that's not even a lack of faith in Xbox. That should be counted as a lack in faith of one's own ability to sell one's fucking product.
Well, apparently blew their expectations with the million units sold, so hopefully we get it on Xbox. Hopefully they realize that, you know, maybe more people want to buy this.
I have
maybe
no faith
people
in
like
that.
Mega Man.
Maybe. Or, I have no
or they'll
faith
just be like, Street Fighter 6, yeah, esports.
Oh, God.
Chia hit 1 million players since launch.
Sweet.
Zero on Xbox.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future. That one I think has a good shot of showing up.
Yeah, I'm pretty... Didn't we talk to somebody?
Yeah, Jenny.
We did.
Yeah, and didn't they state that was a possibility?
No, they said they can't comment on it.
Yes.
In other words, it's a possibility. It's fine.
I'm the one who said it's a possibility based on Sifu showing up and based on, you know, it could happen. We'll see. I'm hopeful. I think it'll happen. More PlayStation stuff. Marvel Spider-Man Remastered will finally release as a separate purchase on the PlayStation Store after being tied to Miles Morales Ultimate Edition since launch. It will be $49.99.
I would just get it with the Miles Morales one because you're going to like both of them. What the hell's the point in just getting one?
Yeah, just get the Miles Morales Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
I think it's only a $20 upcharge getting the Ultimate Edition. Oh.
Yeah. If my PC could handle it, and it will in the future, soon in the future, I'd get it, and I'd be very happy with that.
If you went like 3 months without buying Gunpla, you could probably get a new PC.
Probably 4 months, but yes.
Please let me know when you get the new computer.
Oh, I will, because I legitimately have to buy one before the end of the year.
Yeah, because my computer, of Steam.
Yeah, but my computer couldn't upgrade to Windows 10 and run for shit, so I'm stuck on Windows 7. So at the first of next year, Steam isn't letting people open Steam on Windows 7, so it's like, yeah, so I have to get one this year. I don't have a choice in that matter, so, yeah.
Yikes.
I have to figure out.
Steam is completely blocking out Windows 7 and 8.
Yeah, it sucks.
It would just be funnier if they were just like, yo, fuck Aki.
It's specifically Aki's computer.
We're just going to tell everyone
point,
it's Windows
7. It very 7. Well might be just computer.
In our other Discord channel, we have Purnell, Chris, and Chris's girlfriend all playing Dokapon Kingdom online. And before we started, I was hanging out with them chatting a bit, and Catherine and I were talking to Purnell about his computer and the fact that he was starting up his laptop that had Windows 7 on it. And I'm like, Purnell, I know you have a newer laptop. Why don't you use that one? And he's like, logic isn't something I deal with all the time. And we're like, no, seriously, like now, why don't you just like, while we're suggesting it, why don't you just use your other laptop? He's like, I'm using this one. This one's firing up. I don't get it, but he wants to use his Windows 7. So you're not alone, Haki.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I had to do some serious convincing to get the other human to upgrade to Windows 10 from 7. It was a lot, but it's good to know that if I had somehow not succeeded like a year ago, that I would have been able to explain to him in small words he would understand. Steam no worky. Must.
Yeah, that's what it took for me to do it, because I was like, I want to play in my library of over 3,000 games. I need this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't buy them to sit there like they've been doing for the most.
I was about to say bullshit. Yes, you did.
I did. I really did. I've bought games that I know my computer couldn't run because I wanted them and they were on sale. I have a problem.
You do.
I've got Xbox games that I'm just like, I'll play this when I retire. Like,
like what? Captain America on the 360. I'll get to it eventually.
I watched someone stream that game. That didn't look half bad, honestly.
It's actually pretty decent. I'm like a third of the way through it, and I'll get to it one of these fucking days.
I was going to say, I remember those Sega Marvel games being like, eh. Like, they weren't bad. Like, they weren't great, but they weren't bad either. Like, I remember Iron Man was... I actually had a decent time with it.
Yeah, the Hulk Man was decent.
Did you just say Hulk Man?
I may have. The Hulk 1 was decent.
I love Batman Man.
The Hulk Man. Hulk Superman Man, Green Smashy. Best. He's Green Smashy, right? Green Smashy, the person thrower.
Yes. Yes, I like that. That is the best explanation.
Speaking of Marvel, Midnight Suns is hitting Xbox One and PS4 next week on the 11th.
Cool.
Switch version canceled.
That doesn't shock me.
Yeah.
I've only heard good things about that game, so that's...
The only bad things I've heard about it are the sales figures. Like, I hear it's a great game. It just hasn't sold worth shit.
That doesn't super shock me just based on the gameplay that it has. No. That a lot of people, like, I would love the game if it didn't have that gameplay. I am not interested in the game specifically because I don't like that type of game.
No.
It's a shame.
Another game that's hitting PS4 and Xbox One this week is Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, boy. Cool.
Yeah.
I was telling Joe that I thought it was... It felt like a wreath kind of desperation because I collect baseball cards through Topps Bunt app.
Nerd.
And yeah, oh yeah, okay. Anyway, so like they have this option where you can get free cards or currency by watching ads, and all like literally today ads for Hogwarts Legacy on PlayStation have popped up. And normally this is an area that's reserved for like little shitty mobile game ads. And I'm just like, how far low, like, are you expecting your sales to be that this is where you're going to advertise? Like, what made you think that like a bunch of like baseball nerds is going to be this untapped market who are like, yeah, I definitely want to play, Hogwarts Legacy in there instead of throwing all my money at digital baseball cards that I can't touch. I don't know. But
how much have you spent on that game?
What?
The Topps stuff.
What? Bunt?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a quote unquote like season pass thing which gets you better cards. That's $10. And there was a guy up on eBay that I bought 100 old Marlins cards off of for $10. Like, so I think like $20 total, but yeah, it's honestly like, as long as you put time into the app and like, you're just willing to do like lots of trading, you can honestly build up a pretty sizable collection without much effort. Hmm. So, and money, I should say.
Nope. Still don't care. I tried.
Yeah, no. I honestly focus on like Miami Marlins, and that's pretty much it. Because they're my favorite team.
So boring.
Anyway, I also do their the top Star Wars app as well.
I feel like I should play the sports ball shenanigans theme.
I hate you.
Hey, when you get to cornhole, you're going to hear that intro.
That's true.
Last bit of news I have is that Dredge is getting some updates over the year. The first update is adding map markers to the game, and upcoming updates will include a photo mode and a pacifist mode for the people who want to play the game with the fishing but don't want to worry about the monsters.
Nice. Very nice. I approve of that.
Yeah. So that's the news I got. Aki, you got anything?
No, not this time. Sorry.
Bree, any news?
I wasn't prepared for this show.
It's okay. No one is.
None of us are. Yeah.
You were more prepared for it than Jacob was.
You were.
You were on time for a show I wasn't supposed to be on. Woo!
Exactly.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Oh, man. Jacob, any news?
Other than the Gran Turismo trailer getting released,
I didn't see that. Does it look good?
I don't know. I haven't watched it yet either. And also, the Twisted Metal trailer got released, and people are not... I know people are not enthusiastic about the Twisted Metal Joe.
So. I want to see it just because Samoa Joe's in it, and I love Samoa Joe.
Mm.
He's the body for Sweet Tooth.
I really wish I could have just gotten a new game.
Yeah, but it'd only be on PlayStation.
That's... sucks.
Yeah, because they own that franchise.
That sucks.
Yeah. How about a new Vigilante 8? Let's get a new one of those.
I don't know if I ever even played it.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
I think they have a remastered version on Xbox One. I want to say, or at least on 360 they did. I don't remember.
Walmart Plus? What?
There's a what? Denver, there's a Walmart Plus perk on Game Pass. Okay, I'm going to load up my perks. Do we kind of new shits on
right now.
Isn't Walmart Plus like their online ordering system or some shit?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I'm glad you guys knew what that was, because I had no fucking clue. I don't shop at Walmart very often.
75-day free trial for Walmart Plus.
Really?
That is hilarious.
I'll take it. I don't want to drive to Walmart.
Where is this being offered?
Game Pass perks on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
That is, do you not know about not Game Pass perks?
No, I do. I mean, okay. That's how I get, like, codes for Halo stuff that I'm never going to use because I don't play multiplayer.
Oh, if I ever play Phantasy Star Online 3.
Oh my gosh.
You're all in trouble.
New Genesis. I'm getting so many things sent to my mailbox. So many.
And if anyone has unused Gems of War codes, you can send them my way.
What do we get for it?
My thanks.
Hatred from Carnage for not giving them to him.
Carnage to them.
I'm just going to start playing sides. So, Carnage, if you want to offer me things for my codes, you know, I'm willing to hear.
I think they changed how they do.
Better not be Solitaire 3D codes either.
I think there's only one of those left, which is funny because now it's like, ooh, now it could actually be a prize. shit, I forget what I was going to say because you distracted me.
I know, my ravishing good looks do that often.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I want to vomit in my mouth now, thank you.
That's my kink.
All right, should we get to reviews?
You can do that, but first, I'm going to say bye.
Yeah.
Oh.
I figured you would duck out right now. I know you got your own stream to take care of. You're going to play some Redfall.
I'm going to go play some Redfall, and I will catch up with what happened in the show after.
Cool beans. You have yourself a wonderful night, and thanks for coming by and hanging out and covering for Jacob.
Yeah, no problem.
For those 11 minutes, thank you.
Bye,
those were 11 wonderful minutes.
Really the best of the show.
It was.
During the entire history,
and then
actually.
You showed up and just shat all over everything. Have a good one, Bree.
Bye.
First game to talk about tonight is Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection, developed and published by Capcom, released April 14th on Switch, PS4, and PC. Volume 1 and Volume 2 are $39.99 each, or $59.99 for the complete collection. The Battle Network is back. Get ready to jack into the net to face off against deadly enemy programs in electrifying grid-based battles, and search the net for rare and powerful battle chips to build the ultimate deck of special moves. We're going to break this up into two parts because the collection's broken up into two parts. Part 1, Volume 1, includes what? Mega Man Battle Network 1, 2,
2.
3 blue and 3 white?
Correct.
Tell us about the first collection.
So, pretty much Battle Network was this offshoot of the Mega Man series. Like, it has nothing to do with any of the other series, unless they retconned that somehow, like, and I wasn't aware. But it was the first one that, like, had nothing to do with the other previous entries. And how it works is that, I mean, there's an actual plot to this game, and it takes on more of an RPG aspect, or yeah, I mean, I guess
yeah, the top down isometric RPG.
Yep. And so pretty much what it is that there's this kid named Lan, and there's going to be a ton of computer and internet based puns throughout this because, you know, it's early 2000s. And so everything has to, have this kind of stuff. But you control this school, the school kid named Lan, who has kind of like a online avatar. It's not like an avatar, but it's this like little computer like program thing called a pet. I'm getting there.
I'm getting there slowly. Trying to usher you along.
Thank you. Named Megaman.exe. And Lan is at first learning how to use the character. And you've got the school teacher who runs you through how everything works, gives you simulation battles. But pretty much what it is that you control Lan moving through his neighborhood, and sometimes you have to help people do little tasks. Other times it's go from point A to point B. But there are these internet terrorists called the WWW who are causing all these issues. And of course, it's up to Lan and Megaman.exe and their friends to put a stop to this kind of stuff. And so what you do is that you jack into the internet and Mega Man.
So that's what they call it now. Okay.
Yeah. I would like, you know, as I was playing this, cause I hadn't played it in God, almost 20 years. I was just like, that was the best term that they could come up with for English, but okay.
Yep. They're jacking.
So anywho, so Mega Man, so the battles, instead of like the normal you know, action games that we've come to know and love, this is more of a turn-based RPG. Yeah, it's like a turn-based RPG.
It's more real time than turn-based.
That's fair. Turn-based implies that
like you go, then they go.
You can move around. Yeah. All right. It is more time-based than turn. I don't very frequently play these kind of games. So, forgive me for not using the correct language on that.
That's why I'm here. That and to make fun of you.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here. Thank you very much.
So there are two grids on either side of the screen. One side is Mega Man's, the other side is the enemy's. And you have these chips that you can apply to Mega Man. I mean, he has his normal buster that he can use to fight the bad guys, but there's also these chips that you can apply to Mega Man that could do various stuff. Like it can make the buster cannon more powerful. You can actually remove tiles from the battle grid. You can actually steal tiles for, temporarily, or you can even run away. Like there's all sorts of stuff that you could do. And you just have to, you know, duke it out against all these bad guys. And then you're running around through the internet, which is presented through this isometric 2D, I mean, it's like not
2.5D.
Like
Diablo aspect, like, the isometric top down.
Right. And I'm not going to lie. Like I had a hell of a time navigating, the internet area from Mega Man Battle Network, at first, because again, I haven't played these in almost like 15, 20 years. Yeah. And the part that I found really funny was that the very first mission, you have to help find this robot. And I was like, I could not figure out where the hell I'm supposed to be going. And I was playing it late one night, and my son came down because he had a bad dream. And he's just sitting there watching me play it. And he's like, oh, Dad, I think you have to go over there. And I'm just, like, and he was right. Like, yeah, it was an area that's not exactly like the easiest thing to see. And I have no idea how many times I walked past this damn thing. But the funny thing is that I'm 99.9% sure I had this exact same problem 20 years ago. And I had to go consult, the fine folks over at Mega Man Matrix to figure out where the hell I was supposed to go next. So good to know that 20 years later, I'm still having an issue navigating this damn game. But yeah, thankfully the game starts off fairly easy. And as you go through the game, of course, it introduces new enemies and it'll start doing new combinations. I mean, you'll see plenty of familiar faces. Like there's Gutsman.exe. There's a roll. Eventually you're going to get to meet a Proto Man. Other bad guys like the Metals or Me Tools, they show up. There's gliders, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, if you had never hopped into Mega Man Battle Network before, like, this is an excellent opportunity to try it. Now, the thing does include Mega Man Battle Network 2 and 3. Those are, I mean, out of all of them, I would say probably Mega Man Battle Network 2 is the best. That allowed, that gave you more chips. It allowed for more freedom with like how you were going to decide what you were going to do with your battle stuff.
After that, they went the Pokemon route, splitting it into two with like certain chips really in one, certain chips in the other.
Right. And the thing is that there were hidden chips with Battle Network 2 as well. But like those were all achievement based. And also one was kind of like a tag team with a Konami title. I forget what the heck it was called.
Boktai.
But what's up?
Boktai.
I think so. You have to.
Anyway, but, it doesn't matter.
But then after or with Mega Man Battle Network 3, it did start going that Pokemon route. And it's just the series starts declining at that point, but like they're still solid titles. Honestly, the collection, I was having a huge dumbass grin across my face the whole entire time. Like I felt like I was in high school. Like these things are a blast to play. They're fun. I don't know if I'd say that they're wholesome, but I mean, it's like, I never once had to worry about like what my kids were seeing on the screen. They were interested while I was playing it and they wanted to play it too. And it's just, the game does take time to hold your hand with it. And I do appreciate that. And there also is like an Advanced Buster version where if like, you know, you don't want to have to do all the grinding and stuff like that, your Buster's automatically way more powerful at the start, so you could just get through all those battles, because I'm not going to lie, those gliders suck. I always hated them. it's just, I'm having a ton of fun with it, and I'm really glad that we got to check this out.
This is the point where we would normally ask for a verdict, but because we're splitting this up into two, we're going to wait until next week to give a final verdict on this. Because you have a whole other collection to play. You spent this week playing Volume 1.
Right.
Now you got to fire up Volume 2 and fire up the other six games. Technically there's only three, but you know.
Three, yeah.
I wish they would have done what they did with Battle Network 5 on the DS, where they combined them into one game.
I never got to play Battle Network 5. I only got up to the Game Boy Advance titles.
Yeah, so. Well, 5 and 6 are still Game Boy Advance, but they re-released 5 on the DS with both games on one cart, pretty much, with all the content in one game. It got a special release, yeah. Cool. I wish that would have been on there. But
I'm not going to lie, because wasn't there also a GameCube game?
Network Transmission, but it was more of a side-scrolling action game. It wasn't like these.
Yeah.
Some people are hoping it might show up as DLC. Who knows?
Okay. I'm
still hoping these games show up on Xbox, but we'll talk about more. We'll talk about that more next week when we give our final thoughts and final verdict on things. For now, is this something people should keep their eye on for the next week?
Oh, yeah.
Or should
absolutely. Right. You could probably already guess how I'm feeling towards it. Yeah,
but we got to stretch this out. There's a lot of games here. We gotta stretch this out into two parts. Only fair.
Of course.
It's only fair. So no answers. No answers. Next game to talk about is the last.
Buy it.
Damn you. Then the last case. Oh, God. I'm taking a drink. Fuck you guys.
I mean, if it makes you feel better. I keep calling it the curious case of Benjamin Button. So,
also, while I'm thinking of it, before we hop off of this, mm-hmm. one of the things I thought was really cool is that you can actually battle people online in this, and you can also trade chips with other people. I thought that was still a really neat feature that they'd bring that. I mean, I guess
we could have saved that for next week.
Well, shut up. It's a feature from Mega Man Battle Network 1, okay? So be quiet. Anyway.
You know, the only thing Mega Man Battle Network I ever saw was I watched the old cartoon Mega Man NT. That's it.
The NT Warrior?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, they were decent. Capcom was doing a stream of that not too long ago. But yeah, so there's online multiplayer with this game. I never found anybody online to play against, but I still think that that's a really awesome feature to bring it back from how it used to be. So
okay.
Cool, but we'll talk about that again next week. Next week. Yeah. Next up, The Last Case of Benedict Fox, developed by Plot Twist, published by Rogue Games, released April 27th on Xbox Series X and S and PC for $24.99. Take on The Last Case of Benedict Fox and dive into a twisted world of secret organizations, forbidden rituals, and cold-blooded murders. Explore the memories of deceased victims as you search for clues and fight demons in this fantastical Lovecraftian Metroidvania. Aki, tell us about your time with The Last Case of Benedict Fox.
Okay, so now you already know it's a Metroidvania, so that cuts out a lot of stuff that I needed to explain. This very much goes alongside the Cthulhu mythos. So you have abject horror and squid-faced fox. It's fantastic. You are part of some organization, I believe, that hunts people who basically draw on Cthulhu-ish powers, witches and all this other crap. You somehow accidentally got yourself a slimy-faced fuck friend who is attached to you now. So now you're also on the run from the organization that you work for. Because nothing can ever be simple in a video game. And you've decided you're going to find out about your family, because I don't know, they haven't explained that part yet, but you're finding your family. So you find, your dad's, place of living, and you go and visit, only to find, oh no, there's a fucking corpse. Well, shit. And then you decide, hey, I'm going to go into his mind and see his last memories, and it is a hellscape, and it's fantastic. You have beasties you have to defeat, and you absorb some of what they are, and can use that stuff for upgrades later on, and otherwise you're just trying to not die like a schmuck. This becomes a really big murder mystery plot, basically. You're trying to find out about, you know, what happened in your father's life, what happened in supposedly your mother's life. Stepmother, I don't know exactly who she is to you yet, because I haven't finished the game. You're trying to figure out what happened in all their lives, what led up to the events that seem to have taken place, and try and find out more about your own life. It's really fun. You beat up on monsters with Cthulhu powers and a gun that looks like it shoots a flare that just kills the shit out of things real quick. Most of the time you're either, you know, picking people up with your Cthulhu tentacles and slam them into the ground, or throwing them every which way, or sometimes you're running up to people and just shanking them a bunch of times. That's my favorite. Yeah, you start off with a knife, and it's fun. This is very much a power and melee based game. The gun you can't use very often, because after you fire it, it gets recharged, and the recharge, it doesn't just slowly recharge. It's, you have to hit things a lot, and then it recharges. So it's very much a, you know, let me stab you many, many times. And then pick you up and throw you like a little bitch type game. And it's great. There are really nice accessibility features to this game. You can play it on any difficulty with any of these features on that you want, and it will still give you 100% of the achievements. Nothing held back. It's pretty bitchin'. First, I guess I'll go with the, I don't know if I would call this an accessibility feature. It's more like a why the fuck feature. You can play it on the hardest difficulty, and if you do, there's an option to click that you can die in one hit.
Oh, permadeath mode, nice.
Not just permadeath, if you get hit by anything, you just instantly kill over, which is not how the game goes otherwise. And, you know, to combat that concept, to give you a complete opposite, you can play on the easiest mode and have it to where you can't get hurt.
Nice.
And yeah, so you can guess which mode I'm playing on, because fuck that. So yeah, it's really nice. It's really fun. It
good looking game too. I love the artwork in it.
Yeah, it's very pretty. It also has different difficulties for different things. Like combat has its difficulty, the puzzles have its difficulty, so on and so forth. I think there's another one, but I don't remember what it was. So yeah, so you get to really pick and choose exactly how you want it to play, and you can change it at any point.
That's cool.
During the game. So if you're like, oh, these enemies are too easy because I have infinite health on, and then okay, you can flip it off and still play on the easiest. And if you're like, oh, that's too easy, you can bump it up to the next step. And if you're like, that's too easy, you can keep going until you're like, I'm just gonna play this and die in one hit like a fucking numpty. And yeah, I don't want to say too much about the plot, but you are not the only living individual. Well, you and your friend aren't the only living people in the house. You eventually, as the game continues, different types of shopkeepers and stuff will show up in the house and make that their temporary permanent-ish base. One of them allows you to get items and upgrade the items, so like, you can find a flashlight. You can buy upgrades that allow you to use it multiple times. While you're out in one of the voids, which are what they call being in the dead people's minds, and each time you can make it last longer. Or there's like a smoke bomb it allows you to use it multiple times and it lasts longer. That's basically all the upgrades for everything. And then there's someone who upgrades your powers later on. And then there's someone who can upgrade your gun and your knife. So you get a few people that show up and you get to actually talk with them, and things you find in the void world comes with you. So you might be like, oh, I found this poster here, and you can talk to somebody about that poster and they'll have something interesting to say about it, and so on and so forth. Which makes all of these extra people that show up, it makes them feel a little bit more alive than if they were just shopkeeper number 1, 2, and 3. which is nice. I like that little bit of extra stuff to that.
It seemed like you had fun with this one.
Oh yeah, I had a lot of fun. I came across a bug, which might be related to the fact that I'm me and I hit every bug in the face with my face. I ended up getting to an area and playing through a bit of it, and the game just kind of broke on me. I don't think it was necessarily my fault. It may have just been that I was playing it for like 18 hours straight or something. Who knows? I've also gotten to places I'm 100% sure that I wasn't supposed to be able to get into, because your little Cthulhu friend allows you to do a lot of traversal things that you can upgrade. Like, at the start, all you have is a jump ability where you can jump, your normal human jump, and you can just hopefully jump onto a ledge and pull yourself up. But eventually you get upgrades where you can throw your friend's tentacle out after you jump so he can grab onto something that's higher up and pull you up towards it. Eventually you get the ability to do that multiple times, so on and so forth. So it really gives you the ability to fucking move around, which is obviously necessary. It's a Metroidvania game. But I've used that to get into places that I'm like 99% sure I wasn't supposed to be in yet.
Nice.
It's great. Break the game, folks. It's fun.
Well, if they want to break it, it is available for $24.99. It is also part of Xbox Game Pass. What are your thoughts on it?
I am totally for it. I think it's a steal at that price. This is a fantastic game.
Cool. All right, next up, Skinny and Franco, Fists of Violence, developed by Blue Sunset Games and Console Labs, published by Console Labs, released April 28th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Brutal next chapter of Amiga's legendary beat-em-up, Franco the Crazy Revenge, is here. It's time to clean the streets of shit. The iconic game finally gets a sequel it deserves. Are you ready? They are coming. Jacob, did you clean the streets of shit?
I mean, I cleaned up the streets of a bunch of gangster and thug types, if that's what you mean. But no, I was not literally cleaning shit off of the street.
I am not disappointed.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That it turns out that this is a beat 'em up and not a janitorial simulator. Skinny and Franco is a 2D beat 'em up game. Very much taking notes from like Streets of Rage and Final Fight, but then adding some, I would say, Eastern European influences in there. Not only with the dialogue and the characters that you're going to run into, but also it adds in a lot of blood and gore to this series that you just didn't find in those other titles for it. And I'm not going to lie, it does make the game stand out. It has a very unique art style to it. And pretty much the game actually opens up with a warning saying, like, hey, this is, you know, this, like, you know, we fully admit, like, there are some things that are a little problematic with what's being in, like, what's in this game in terms of plot and some of the characters and stuff like that. We're really not just picking on anybody. It's just like, this is all for fun, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I was like, oh God, what? Like, what does this mean? And it really just, it just feels like a crass 1980s B action movie. Again, in terms of character dialogue and situations.
I wouldn't say it was a B action movie. I'd go closer to D. I wasn't really digging this one. I thought the controls felt clunky.
I'm getting there.
All right. like, even the visuals, I saw the visual, like, they describe it as hand-drawn and animated characters in a unique own style, and then the unique graphical setting being a combination of realistic world and satire create a specific atmosphere that you will find only here. Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I felt it was different from a lot that I've played, but I will get into the graphical issues in a bit. So the game doesn't really start you off with a tutorial. You have to go through the menu for it. And unfortunately, it is a pain in the butt to get through. And the controls are set up a little bit differently than most fighting games that I'm used to, which was a little bit hard to get used to. And it didn't always feel like things were happening when I was telling, you know, obviously, like, hitting the button on my controller for certain stuff to happen. And this happened a lot when I was trying to pick up weapons or trying to throw enemies. I mean, like, beating up on people felt solid, and it felt like it was fun to watch. I mean, it's an absolute blast to watch the fights actually go through. But yeah, it's just the game, honestly, like, it moves at like a tank pace. The controls feel like they do feel a little bit clunky, and it's just, it felt slow.
It takes forever to punch someone to death.
Yeah.
You punch the shit out of someone, you knock them down with like a 12 hit combo, and you took away like a third of their life.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that. No, thank you.
And it's like, stand back up. Let me do it again. Let me hit you with the fucking 2x4 three times before it breaks. I don't like how long the stages are.
No.
The first stage, I clocked 25 minutes.
Yeah, it definitely takes a long time to go through. This isn't like a quick arcade game.
Every time I thought I was at the boss, it was like, nope. There's more. Nope, there. Yeah. Oh, this big dude sitting on the stoop, he's surely the last guy. Nope. But these cops that are at the very end, surely these guys are. Nope.
Nope.
Is it that long because the game's actually long, or is it that long just because it takes you 36 fucking hits on a mook to kill the son of a bitch?
It's a mixture of both, to be honest.
It is long stage-wise. I think they could have shortened the stages or split them up. I think like expecting someone to go 25 minutes in a beat 'em up in one single stage, it's kind of asking a lot, especially if you get to the boss and then lose your last life and you get to do that shit over.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't do that again. I mean, that kind of
stuff was frustrating. On the other hand, though, I did check out like how the Steam version is doing, and the devs are aware that like there's plenty of issues, and they have been working on patches. Like one actually got released today on Steam.
That's good.
So it's just the devs are actively working to fix it, and
I don't know how much they could fix in this game without completely scrapping it and starting over. As harsh as that sounds, I think the action is too slow, the pace is too slow, the enemies have too much health, the stages are just too long, the humor is incredibly miss. The voice acting I thought was really bad, and the voice the clips where they speak gibberish when there's not actual voice acting, it's like one clip repeated over and over and over, and it's like everything I did in this game just annoyed me. And to top it off, I didn't get any achievements. I think the achievements are broken.
They're not totally bonked, because I do see that there are people up on True Achievements that have stuff. Nobody's 1,000 it yet, but yeah, the no achievements pop for me yet either.
Yeah, but $20, what is your verdict on this?
At $20 right now, I would actually say I don't like doing this, because I liked the guts of this game, like I really did. But currently it's a deny it from me. But I would still keep an eye on this to see what the devs do, because obviously they're actively working on it. So, I mean, it might be improved in the future. It might be worth picking up for a sale.
Yeah.
But in its current state, I can't recommend it.
Yeah. If you see this at like 50% off or 75% off, it might be worth jumping on. $20, I think, is just too steep.
$10, $10, I would have put it as a try it.
Maybe. There was a lot I didn't like about this game. If they put out some patches and rework it, we'd be happy to take another look at it. But as it stands, I got to give it a deny it myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, up next, Ampersat, developed by Gatoroos Inc., Grab the Games, and Rattlelake Games, published by Checkmate Publishing, released April 26th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $9.99. A labor of love from a solo developer, Ampersat distills some favorite childhood gaming experiences into a fresh, fun hybrid that sees you killing a lot of monsters, finding a lot of loot, freeing captured letters, and growing from a world-weary warrior mage into a powerful, smashing, blasting machine. Thanks for your bit, Jacob.
Take my bit, you bitch.
I did. Ampersat is a top-down twin stick action RPG twin stick shooter style kind of game. You start in a town, and it shows you that there are some towers that popped up that contain evils and beasties, and they're all seemingly elemental based. Like there's a fire one, there's an ice one, obviously stuff like that. You go into the levels, you start with the dungeons, you got to clear through 5 levels of a dungeon. Each level has a hidden treasure chest and a bonus word that provides a chest as well if you kill all the letters. You go through all 5, or you go through 4 levels of the dungeon, then you deal with a boss fight, then it opens up the tower where you ascend the tower to take out another boss, and then you have to go through all 5 towers and dungeons, and I haven't gotten that far, but I'm having a hell of a fun time playing it, because the RPG elements in this game they're really good. It keeps the character build feeling fresh, as you level up. First off, as you level up, when you do hit your level cap, you don't just level up. You got to go back to town and rest in the inn. If you die, you lose a chunk of experience and gold. So it's worth it sometimes to, you know, go through a level or two of the dungeon and then go back to town, rest at the inn, level yourself up, apply some skill points. I've been focusing in like damage and then gold and experience bonuses, because if you level up faster, you know, you get through the game quicker. There is the town. They have various statues that you could upgrade. I have no clue what the statues do so far. I'm working on it. I'm going to figure it out. You can upgrade the inn. There's an armor shop, a weapon shop. The cool thing with items and weapons in this game, and some people could think it's cool, some people could think it sucks, is everything in this game, the letters have been stolen. So you don't know what the fuck you're buying. Not until later in the game, where you've saved a bunch of letters and they've been restored to the item descriptions and titles and communication from the people that you talk to in town. Like when you start up, the people in town are just three dashes. That's it. Just dash, dash, dash. Okay, and they walk around. Everything in this game is like a letter and like ampersand signs and asterisks and exclamation points. And like, you are a walking ampersand with a sword and a ranged weapon, and you're going into levels, beating the shit out of H's and O's and A's and S's and saving letters. And it's a really, really cool game. There's a lot of loot. I wish there was more loot for a game that touts finding a lot of loot. I find myself wanting to find more. Every time I find a chest anymore, it seems like it's just fucking gold in there. And I'd rather just like find new items, because I could sell an item for a lot more than the 50 gold I got in there. I could sell something for like 400. That'd be a lot better. As a passion project from a solo dev, this game, it's incredible what has been done in this game. We previewed it, I want to say like 2 years ago on Steam. And I didn't preview it back then, but it seems like it's come a long way. And now that it's on console, you know, it feels good. It plays good. The twin stick action feels tight. The leveling up is, you know, it's got a distinct level layout that you can kind of approach any way you want, because instead of like going one and then just expanding one branch, it circles around and you can just like jump from point to point to point and spider out the way you want. It's really cool. $10 on this. I'd give this one a hearty buy it. I think this one is absolutely worth the money. If you're a fan of like Zelda, Gauntlet, Smash TV, stuff like that, give this a go. I think it's worth checking out. It's got a unique visual style and it's a lot of fun. So check it out.
Yeah, this sounds like something I might like.
Yeah, I will. Maybe I'll gift it to you and get your opinion on it.
Works with me.
Won't be this week. Maybe next week. Because we're broke right now.
Yeah, I understand.
Good shit. Next game to talk about is Swordbreaker Origins, developed by Ducat's Game Studio, published by Sometimes You, releasing May 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. An illustrated text quest in the Swordbreaker universe, the prequel tells about the life and adventures of Swordbreaker from his childhood and before the events in the mysterious castle. Aki, what is going on in Swordbreaker Origins?
Okay, when you were a kid, did you read those little choose your own adventure books? That's what this game is.
God damn right I did.
Yeah,
Lone Wolf books you ever read.
I loved choose your own adventure books when I was a kid.
Did you read the Lone Wolf books?
I don't know which ones I read. The Lone Wolf series of books. I don't think so.
Of choose your own adventure?
Yeah.
I just read
random ass ones. I read whatever the library had.
All right. I just got to say, it bothers the shit out of me that you say library. Yeah, like all that goodwill.
There's an R in there, goddammit.
All this goodwill that you've been building up over the last few months is like really like taking a nosedive this evening now that I know you say it as library.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of hate you again.
Good.
So, Swordbreaker Origins, what's going on in this game?
Okay, you play as some schmuck.
Is his name Jacob?
You play as Jacob, basically. First, you start off your life as a child, And you,
I started off my life as a child. Wow. Yeah,
see, exactly like Jacob. Mm. And you choose whether you listen to your mother or not. Probably exactly like Jacob.
I listened to my mommy.
Well, you had a choice not to. You just didn't choose that.
Yeah, that's true.
And basically, you go through a very small section of this guy as a child and a young teenager. And it boots you into his probably early 20s, would be my guess. And you've been called on by the king of the nation. Not you specifically, but all the young people, because fuck this, there's a war and we need bodies to die for us. And then you get to make a lot of choices on whether you're like, oh, cool, I'll go do that, or fuck that noise, or hey, I don't like this country, I'm going to betray them. Fun! You get a whole bunch of choices. You get a paragraph and a half worth of information, and then you make a choice. There can be up to like four choices, I believe was the most. Usually it's between one or two. And you unlock scenes, obviously, as you go through this. There's I don't even know how many endings. I think there's like 10 endings or something to this game, based on your choices. Some of them good, some of them bad. There's some romance options in different routes you can go in the game that you can, you know, go after. All very attractive women, so that's great. That's a good plus. I didn't mac on any of them, sadly, because sure. I wanted a hero. I wanted the pure-hearted hero.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, nor do I, but that's the ending I got. So I was very focused on doing what I was told, like a good little soldier boy. And the endings obviously all change based on the actions you do. You can be evil to a national hero. It's the game probably takes a few hours each playthrough, probably. There's 600 and something scenes in total that you can unlock.
Wow.
It does not have a map tree, which really sucks. I like when games this long have a map tree. That way you can be like, oh, this might be where I'm missing something. I need to get to this. And it makes these choices to get there. Okay. And then I just don't choose this and I'll have the new scene. Sadly, it doesn't have that, which bums me out. In my first playthrough, I unlocked like 63 scenes, I think. So about 1/10 of the scenes. The problem being is, lots of those scenes are going to be repeated because they're the first ones. So it's like, oh, every playthrough after this might be like 20 to 40 scenes. Oh, this is going to take so many playthroughs. And it's not just that you get different endings. There's also some force quit endings where you eat a dick and die. So, yeah, that's fun.
Literally?
Too. Possibly. I don't know. There might be. I don't know. And this game has a whole lot of references to other materials. Like in one of the scenes, my character went to a bar and was like, I don't have any money, but I want to stay here. And the bartender was like, you can do a job for me. And I was like, sure, fuck it. Why not? And no, he wasn't being like a bathroom bitch or anything. He went and he had to tell some unruly patrons to fuck off. And it was basically Merry, Pippin, and all of them from Lord of the Rings. They were arguing amongst each other, all the hobbits, about who, you know, did the most towards getting the ring to Mordor. They didn't use all the words and stuff because obviously they couldn't, but it was very clear who they were immediately. And like another part, there was a... There's basically a fucking transformer in it. So it's like there, it has a lot of references to other pop culture stuff, which was for better or worse, it exists. I thought they were funny. But you know, that's all up to personal opinion. And yeah, it's a pretty simple, straightforward game. You read some shit, you pick an answer, you read some more shit, you pick the next answer. And you do this like 20 or 30 times, and there you go. Now you're something. or dead, you know, whichever.
Nice.
There's not a lot to talk about here. graphically, it's kind of eh looking. It's okay. It's not amazing. I didn't find any writing errors in it, which is nice. The story is okay. It's nothing that's going to win any awards or anything, but it's serviceable. And yeah, that's about all I have to say.
Cool. Well, it's $10. What are your thoughts?
For $10, you're going to get if you actually like this and you're like, oh, I want to play this and get everything, it's going to take you a hell of a lot more than 10 fucking hours to do. I can tell you that right now. I don't care how fast you read. It's going to take you so much longer than 10 hours. If you're not really into visual novels, this really isn't going to change your fucking mind. But if you like visual novels and you're like, hey, medieval thing, sure, cool, then this is totally for you. And I think that's a decent price for it.
Now, here's the question. For achievement hunters, is this worth double dipping and getting the stack for Xbox One and Series or PS4, PS5, or should they just get one?
Personally, I would suggest just getting one because I don't know if I'm even going to complete this on the Xbox because there's just so much. I really hope there isn't an achievement for seeing all the scenes or else I'm fucked because I don't know how I'll ever get that. But I know there's one for like every ending, for getting every romance, for seeing and certain scenes and stuff. But there's no telling where the fuck those scenes are. So yeah. It's not going to be a particularly quick one.
Not until the achievement guide comes out.
Exactly. I can't wait for that. I am so stoked for that.
If you do buy it for the achievement stack, keep in mind this is a sometimes you game. So if you buy the Xbox One or the PS4 version at full price, you get a 50% discount on the Series or PS5 version. But it does not work the other way around. So get the last gen first and then the new gen if you want to get the stacks.
All right.
Sounds all right. Good talk.
I had nothing to say to any of that shit, so it's like, okay.
Next up, Mothman 1966, developed by LCB Game Studio, published by Chorus Worldwide Games, released July 14th of last year on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $8.99. Mothman 1966 is a pixel pulp, a visual novel fusing exceptional writing and stunning illustration inspired by the mid-20th century pulp fiction and 80s home computer graphics set amongst the strange occurrences of the Leonid meteor shower of 1966. Jacob, what is going on in Mothman 1966?
That's a really good fucking question because this plot goes off the rails pretty damn quick. So I fully admit when you asked me to review if I wanted to review the game that I'm going to be reviewing next week, I was like, oh, this is a series? Like, you know, do I need to play them all? And the devs said, no, you don't need to play the previous game to understand the next one. It's more going to be more of like a Twilight Zone series.
But we're making you play them in order anyway.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, thank you, devs, for still providing the key for this. At the same time, I did not really pay attention to that trailer that Joe had told me to watch for the other one. Because otherwise I would have known that this was a visual novel. The trailers make it seem more of like a late 1980s, early 1990s point and click adventure game. And it's not. It really is more of like along the visual novel line. And so what it is that it has those old, beautiful retro graphics, and you can play as three different characters. You could play as, this guy who's kind of like a young jock. He's a history major. You could play as his girlfriend who is also a history major, but she's also carrying a secret. And also this guy who works at a gas station and has been taking care of, it's like his aunt or grand, like, I think it's like great aunt. I don't know. I was above the influence when I played this game, but anyway,
how do you?
So, you know, so you play it through different perspectives through each chapter. It starts off with, you know, just some weird stuff happening at this, gas station. And then, you know, our young couple pulls up, and this writer guy who hangs around town and also just apparently hangs out at a gas station because he's got nothing else to do on this particular evening, although he's really looking for the meteor shower. So they, you know, all these people meet and things get progressively weirder, and we start seeing, like, we initially only see the Mothman, but then we find out that there are other types of these, like, cryptid characters milling about, and it seems like they're all attracted to this meteor shower. And the writer guy has these theories about what it means, and I'm not going to spoil it, because this is a pretty interesting game, and, like, I would have said unique, except, like, I know here on it we kind of say it, like, in a joking manner most of the time. But for me, this actually was, like, a pretty unique experience with that. And I really liked how there were, during some of the chapters, they broke up the gameplay, so it wasn't just you making, you know, certain decisions. Like, there was one time where you had to actually solve this puzzle to make this gun work. There was another time where the Mothmen are coming towards you, and you have to decide, like, what order you're going to defeat everybody. And there are plenty of, you're going to see the game over screen a lot during this. And thankfully, the game just resets you before you died. And so you could just, you know, if this didn't work, you know, you just need to figure out what order you actually have to do certain stuff in. And yeah, it was a pretty relaxing experience, and relaxing and engrossing, I should say. I really enjoyed this title. And honestly, my only complaint about it is that after you're done, there's no, like, skip back to, like, a certain chapter to replay something. You just have to go through the whole story again. And of course you can make different decisions and stuff like that. But there was one of the mini game puzzle things that I made a mistake during, because I thought it was just going to do one thing and it just ends it, period. And it caused me to end up missing out on an achievement, possibly, like, messing with the story as well. And it's just, I would have liked to just go back to that one particular part instead of having to replay it over again. But at the same time, I don't mind, like, sitting through all this again. So, yeah, I had a blast with it.
Cool. Well, it is $9. What do you think?
That's an absolute steal, especially for cheap-ass Jacob. Honestly, I would have been cool with 15 for this.
Shut up. Don't give him ideas.
But yeah, $10. Totally go for it. And I'm looking forward to playing the next title for next week.
Sweet. And we will update you on that one next week with Mega Man, which you're not supposed to talk about anymore. Final game to talk about tonight. Going to After Dark territory. George, take it away.
SML After Dark.
That's right, it is SML After Dark territory with Slimy Sextet, developed by Belgerum, published by Critical Bliss, releasing May 19th on Steam for $14.99. Become a slime monster and fuck a harem of sexy girl silly with tentacles and a fully voiced erotic visual novel story. Aki, tell us about dem titties.
There's a bunch of them, and they're fantastic, and I want to motorboat them all. So, yes, in this, you are created, you have no memories or anything, because you are brand new, you are a fresh baby in this world. You are a fresh baby adult who is apparently really, really horny. You are created by a fairy who's kind of pissed off at a very specific someone, and they decided to create you in order to teach that bitch a lesson. Basically, what's happened is Celeste, this fairy who created you, made a deal with a local hero to make them into a hero. And the goal of that was, okay, I do this for you, you give me your firstborn child. And then the hero was like, oh, I'm not having kids, fuck you, after they had already gotten everything. So Fairy got kind of pissed off and was like, okay, fine. I'm going to use a forbidden art and create this creature that's not supposed to be created because it's wrong to create or whatever. And I'm going to have it go and turn you into a fucked silly slave and die.
A fucked silly slave?
A fucked silly slave, yes.
Okay. All right.
And basically, don't your abilities Jake, as a just slime... Just accept it. Yeah. is that you have lots of slimy, kinky tentacles, because slimes are sexy. And you get to choose whether you're a male slime or a female slime, which doesn't really affect much of anything really at all, because you're still fucking people with tentacles. So whatever, it's just whether anytime your character speaks, it's whether they have a masculine or feminine voice, and what their character profile is shown as when they speak. You can have either a big-tittied cute girl or some schmuck. Your powers are you get to fuck people with tentacles. And with that, you're able to create jizz to impregnate whatever you want to impregnate, aphrodisiac, and a love potion. So it is your turn to go out and fuck some bitches silly and make them slaves. And, yeah,
sweet.
That's kind of what you do.
Sweet. So
this does not have any choices, unlike lots of the visual novels I've talked about. This is a kinetic one. It's just a straight-up novel. It doesn't have any animated scenes, really. You get a still, and you get some really kinky girls saying really kinky shit, and it's fantastic. And, that's really where that lies. It is a decently long one. I think this one took me like 14 hours to finish from start to finish. And that it has three different endings that you get to choose. That's the only choice you really make in the game. It's pretty fantastic. It's an easy 100% too for anyone who cares about that on Steam.
Cool. $15, a verdict.
I am so for this. This was
shocking.
Some games I'm like, oh, this is just sex. There's not really a story and it kind of blows. This game was very much a porno, but in all the best possible ways instead of all the worst possible ways, which is usually how porn games that are just a porno really go. So I thoroughly suggest this one. It was really good.
Nice. Cool. That is it for this episode. We made it through. I don't know what to play for music. Like the After Dark stuff, it just I think, you know what? There's a song on Mustin's new album that he said is gonna cause babies. So we're gonna play that one. I forget which one it is, but as soon as I hear it, I'll be like, yeah, that's the fucking song. We're gonna listen to some Mustin and then we're gonna start fucking. Right, Jacob?
Absolutely.